To me, Where the Wild Things Are is a place that exists in our minds. It's a place of liberty and shamelessness. It can take a split second or a lifetime to find it, but once you do, you'll be free. There's a wild thing that exists in all of us. It lives in our passions, in the people we love, in our subconscious thoughts, our beliefs. It's even made a home in the darkest parts of us. But we can't be scared of it.
Welcome back to Mysteria Unbarred. It's episode 3, baby. Y'all been rocking out with me. I'm your host, Jay Mysteria. And you already know, this is where truth gets spoken and silence gets broken. Now let's get back, because I got caught for time last time. I was trying to give y'all everything at once, and I can't do that. I gotta slow up. But where I left off, we were talking about the new chief of police, Easton McDonald, in Lancaster City. He came from Virginia. It's a sheriff's sergeant, Virginia's sheriff's sergeant. I don't even understand. You know, things change so much between commonwealths, between states. It's bananas. But our city hosted something a little different when it comes to how we hire our chief of police. We did a chief of police meet and greet where we had three candidates come up and we could ask questions. We could get in the mix. Where I'm an abolitionist, I say, throw the whole police department in the trash. Let's reimagine justice. Let's do community policing to involve restorative justice. At the same time, I do need to meet the people who you're going to put in place to oversee over 100 men with guns. So I went down there to go meet the chiefs. And beforehand, you know, your girl, Mysteria, she going to hit the Google books and see what the news is talking about. So I did my research and I did my digging. And honestly, I wanted to go with the female. There was a woman, she was Latina. She used to run Miami-Dade's police department. As us being the welcoming refugee city, I just felt like she would be better suited. The demographic in Miami fits more with the demographic of people that we have up here than I would think Virginia. The climate of Miami speaks more to what we would have here in regards to our people, not our weather, our people, than Virginia. I don't know if y'all ever drove through Virginia, but hunty. Anyway, so I did some digging and we had another one that they wanted to put up. This cop was a white male and he was a local officer that used to terrorize our city in the 90s. And he individually might not have terrorized our city in the 90s, but he ran with a group called the Yellow Shirts that did terrorize our city. And he was trained by a regime of officers that truly held on to white supremacy. So trust and believe, he had to go. And then we were left with Easton. And Easton was a black man. He was, like I said, sheriff sergeant in Virginia. He was also involved in a off-duty shooting incident in his home. And it's personal, and you know, my heart goes out to his family. But essentially, his daughter snuck out, and when she went to sneak back in, he thought it was an intruder, and he shot her. And that worries me as a mother, as a resident, as a community member. Are you going to be willing to just accept your officers reacting first and asking questions later? Is it going to be okay when somebody pulls their gun and not their taser? Are we going to feel bad for the officer and not the family? What is going to be our responses and how we lead our police department in these incidences being led by somebody who suffered an incident as traumatic as this was? I have my concerns. Especially when you're talking about leading your police department and your police officers to be openly knocking on people's doors with no warning. Why should I hear a knock at my door, open it, and it just be a cop wanting to say hi at 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, whether I'm making lunch or dinner? Why do I want to be bothered by you, sir? And are my tax dollars better spent if you're doing something else? Huh, I have so many questions when it comes to this. But I feel like our media did not do well on reporting the background demographics of our new chief of police, or truly exposing or being transparent about the issues in this situation. So I just wanted to let my peoples know. Now, on to another important issue. Today in Manheim Township at 1 p.m. was a meeting, and at 6 p.m. will be another. The PUC Commission is holding meetings to get public opinion about UGI's $99.3 million rate increase. This rate increase will affect the entire state. This rate increase will bring everybody's UGI bill up about $10 a month. And I get, you know, we hear $10 and we go, oh, it's $10. But how much did it go up last time? And how much did the water just go up? And how much did the rent just go up? And how much did gas prices just go up? And how much did the price of eggs just rise, drop, and then re-rise again? And how much are a box of trash bags again? Because end all be all, it just seems like everything's just stacking and stacking and stacking and stacking and stacking some more. Not to mention, you know, our president wanting $150 trillion to go to war. And if you live in Lancaster County, then they want us to build a $500 million jail. And our school's in a $15 million deficit. And then I just ran over a pothole and my tire is kind of feeling flat now. So that $10 might hurt more than you think when it all boils down to it. So if you have time, that meeting is transpiring. Now, by the time you hear this, you're going to have to catch the re-edits. And I'm sorry, but pay attention, because if you pay attention, meetings like this are transpiring all the time. And I know we're distracted and I know we're tired and I know we always don't got time. But trust and believe, they're going to get that time out of us one way or another. Either we go down to those meetings and take our time and show up and be heard, or we're working an extra hour for that extra $10 to pay that bill. And they're still getting that time. And then they're going to get that time every day for the rest of our lives. So we got to wake up, folks. We got to figure out what our schedules are like. Put somebody else onto the meeting if you can't go to the meeting, and start circulating this stuff, because these people are getting us. It might only be $10 for me and $10 for you and $10 for you, but when it all totals up, it's $99.3 million. And what could our community, what could our state do with $99.3 million that ain't going to go to UGI if we all show up at the meetings and say, fuck no. I want my $10. Matter of fact, I want $10 from every month for the last year, because why did you increase this? Why do I even have to pay for the natural energy God gave this earth? But in great news, Bethel AME, WGAL just put out an article recently, as of this month, about Bethel AME's first female pastor in its entire 208 years existence. But sadly, WGAL's report was also extremely disrespectful. That pastor took office, that pastor took pulpit June 2025. They not only are late to the pulpit with this story, but they also misspelled this pastor's name. She is the first Black woman pastor, Miss Stephanie Adkins, in Bethel AME history. This church has been around since almost the beginning of this country. And yeah, you know, we can't even spell her name properly. So it just makes you go, the disrespect be real. And when you go on these news media's websites and you look in the comments, you know, there's always a white man somewhere minding black folks' business. So not that I only go in these comments, but there definitely was a white man challenging whether this black woman had biblical power to take this pulpit. And my only question is, why is this white man concerned about this black woman and this black church? Sir, you do not attend this church. You do not contribute to this church. You do not belong in their business. So please, mind your own. This is the problem in our community. We just don't know how to tell people to mind their business. And that man needs to mind his business, because Junia was named among the apostles and Phoebe was a church leader. Galatians 3:28 kindly tells you, Bible thumpers, that there is no male nor female, for we are all one. So trust and believe, sir. God created her and gave her all the power she needs to believe in him and take that pulpit. Mind your business. And remember, this is Mysteria Unbarred, where truth is spoken and silence is broken. Now, if you remember and y'all was tuned into the last episode, I told you I was going to bring Circumstantial Saint back on this episode to kick it with us as we introduce a new segment that is exclusive to Mysteria Unbarred. This new segment is Puff and Process with Circumstantial Saint, where organizers come to inhale and exhale a little bit. So let me remind you about exactly who Circumstantial Saint is and give you a little tea on our background. Me and Circumstantial Saint have been going 6-7 years now. I met him pre-2020 when the country was at its most volatile, when we needed our people to speak up the most. And we found ourselves in the space we needed to be, building bonds in the way we needed to, fighting back, dodging rubber bullets, dodging smoke bombs, dodging tear gas, looking for milk gallons, calling medics, navigating our lows, trying to figure out what to do next. And if you've never been on the front lines of a protest turned resistance, turned full resistance, then you won't understand. But if you heard police officers chanting in German, shooting rubber bullets at you, then you'll know where we're going. Puff and Process is a safe space. It's a place where black and brown organizers truly get to inhale and exhale and talk about the uncomfortable in the uncomfortable, where we should be safe and protected and centralized. So now I bring to you my guy, Circumstantial Saint. What up, though?
Hey, what's going on, fam? Appreciate you for having me.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Of course. I've been trying to find a way to truly platform and promote you ever since the go, but the same way you do me with your Puffin Poet and how you centralize the bail fund and make sure that a portion of your proceeds go to the bail fund every month. So trust and believe, if you haven't pulled up yet, pull up one Sunday a month to the Hempfield Apothecary for Puffin Poet with Circumstantial Saint.
I also say April 12th is the year anniversary. So if there's any time that you want to pull up, it's going to be on April 12th.
Because I puff.
I poet.
Hey.
We also have, speaking of community, you know, local, longtime, born and raised resident, Sir Dominique Jordan will be the feature. It's only right. And then also speaking to Lancaster Bell Fund, like, I don't need much money to live. I don't require, like, no offense to anybody else who likes material things, I don't need much to live, you know? So like, for me, it's like, if people are giving to me, I'm going to give back to them.
And I love that. And I love that. And that's where we know Jontel is very simple.
Yeah, girl.
Not so simple. Yeah, girl. Accessoried out. So trust and believe. I get it. And that's where it's beauty. We find ourselves in these spaces where we can easily just put each other in position. So I love this for us. I love this for us. So it's time to puff and process with circumstantial faith. Last we were talking. I saw you actually at the No Kings protest rally. And, you know, I will say, as somebody who didn't know what to fully expect, because I'm easily triggered. I just talked to y'all a little bit about a protest resistance I've experienced. So when it comes to me coming out following the trial and going to state prison because of a protest, I'm a little weary when I step foot into certain spaces, especially these spaces. I've been to protests in DC since I've been home. I've been to protests in Harrisburg since I've been home. But I stay clear of Lancaster protests because I don't want to be the reason that the police are antagonized and or antagonizing. So I did a walkthrough at No Kings and it was bright. It was bright and
it was fluffy.
It was very fluffy. It was very fluffy. Get into that fluffiness, Jocelyn.
Yeah, because fluffy can mean a lot of things, right? It was filled with sugar puffs and dancing animatronic Uncle Sam's on stilts. And
I got a picture of it.
And bands of all white middle-aged women doing African drums and singing old spiritual gospel Southern music and claiming that they were obligated to credit the people that came up with these songs. So all of these things are very indicative of a certain kind of energy, if you will. But No Kings, like, look, you talked about the different experiences that you had with going to different places. And we, after 2020, like around 2021, we kind of went our different ways in the sense of how we grew and learned and gathered our own experiences to gain the knowledge that we have today to be able to talk the shit that we do, right?
And oh, so, we've come a long, very long way. Oh,
I think 2021, I went to Minneapolis, Chicago. 2022, Jalen Walker was shot by Akron police 96 times. And so I did a lot of back and forth to Ohio. And so it was kind of like a re-triggering. I went to Philly and saw a lot of things with Walter Wallet. Did a lot of triggering right after the stuff that we witnessed in 2020.
And a lot of people don't put together the similarities between Walter Wallace and Ricardo Mios.
Yes.
Not only did they transpire within the same month time, they were eerily identical, whether it's man, knife, mental health instability, running backwards, running forwards, same incident, same month, same vicinity, same result.
Everywhere I've been, talking to mothers that have had their kids killed by police, the mental health aspect, the antagonization and abuse by the police department after they've killed a family member, they continue to chastise the family members and make their lives even more miserable, preventing them from even having funerals. Excuse me, you name it, you know? Seeing the similarities of these things, doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter what city, everyone is dealing with the same thing. Come back home and build in your own community. That's the change that's what we can do.
No, I will say, as somebody who has lost somebody to gun violence, not even by the hands of a police officer, but that the police do play an antagonizing part. They removed candlelight vigils, kicked over, they throw stuff out. They are
Okay.
uberly disrespectful when it comes to trauma on so many levels.
Because black and brown trauma is not credible. It does not matter. They can not feel it. And especially as a police officer, from their standpoint, they're not supposed to,
So
right?
you would think when we know as organizers that the cops don't know how to center black and brown people. And we organize with therapists, with community members, doctors, lawyers, everyday people that should know how to center black and brown experiences. But it doesn't always feel like people see, understand, or even reach out. I will say that we don't. I think somebody reached out about the No Kings protest rally to the bail fund, not reached out, but offered us an opportunity to table literally right, I want to say a week or so before that at the E-Town Social Justice Fair.
Proving the point that black and brown people are an afterthought, the same way that the person who invited me on was not anyone that was involved in the show. It was someone that was asked to be a part of it themselves and said, I'm not doing it unless this person does it, meaning me. And this was only like a week out. I was told details how to be a part of it and what to do 2 days before. And so it's very clear based off of our two individual situations, right? With this particular event, that black and brown people are an afterthought, at least in Lancaster, we were. And initially,
And I will give grace. Maybe they don't know how to make contact with our orgs, or maybe they.
but you said something before, right before I said something, that we're here, we've been here, and we're easily accessible. The people that are actually affected know how to find us. It's a party to pat yourself on the back and say, I'm frustrated. Hey, you're frustrated? I am too. And we're both, I'm just generalizing here, we're both white middle-aged people, and we're upset because now we see that this affects us all. How do we not feel as bad about this? What can we do? We're going to get out on the street and show our frustration like the black and brown people have always done. Yet, without asking the black and brown people, how do I get out here and do something? How do I change what's going on? How do I do something about my frustration and rage?
And how about where is the best locality to hold this event? Because
And who are the best people to help activate those people?
I'm sorry, like, where I understand that community togetherness is very, very important.
Yes.
Gathering is very, very
You can't have a
important.
revolution without joy.
You cannot have a revolution without joy, and there is a time and a place for that. But this day, from what I understood, was supposed to be a day of pushback. Was supposed to be a day of uncomfortability. Was supposed to be a day when we went to people who didn't know the issues and talked about the issues. Yet this rally is being held in the Southeast, where our most vulnerable population live, where everybody truly understands the issues. Now, if there's a few people per diameter that don't agree, it's purely just hate and ignorance. And
This
you.
event was a rejoicing of the camaraderie of their justified rage. Nothing more.
But am I wrong to think that
No.
globally this was supposed to be a pushback then?
You are completely
Okay.
accurate. And I can say a lot of things about the No Kings overall national organization's protests that is going on. But however, just with any organization that has chapters, you have to judge it by the individual chapters, because some places and other places.
Do you know what the world is giving me right now? And this was one of my favorite movies growing up as a kid. Do you remember The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Yeah.
When the jester, how he narrates the entire movie. And he's like explaining what's going on before the scenes come on. Mm. And he's like, time to start the show. And he's like talking about, like, it just seems like clown narration and satire and performances. Yes. And it just doesn't give revolution. Like,
the people that are rooted in revolution and no revolution, these exact people that are throwing the No Kings protest are afraid of, because it's actual serious work. It's responsibility, it's accountability, and all of that makes these people feel uncomfortable, and they don't want to feel uncomfortable. So again, it's a rejoicing of their camaraderie of rage, because that makes them feel comfortable locally. If you go to other No Kings protests, it might be a little different. Excuse me, you might get a different flavor of their rage, but overall, it's...
I'm not sure, because I've seen a post from BLM 757 saying that they were at a No Kings protest and they need to come on Puffin Process and talk about what was transpiring in the background, because I sent the post that was saying that they were having like difficulties with the organizers.
So I've heard from previous No Kings protests stories, especially particularly LA. There was a black man that was having a protest already there, scheduled for that day. He was there. It was his own protest. He was legally, and you know how I feel about that anyway, if this disruption doesn't have to necessarily be legally, right? But if you did it the right way and you're a black man, do your protest. No King said, you can't be here. We're having a protest. You have to go. He's like, what? No, I'm allowed to be here. I'm not even interrupting y'all. I'm not even a counter protest. We're on the same side here, and I'm not even involved. I'm across the street, and I'm making...
You don't get to tell anybody they're not allowed to protest.
Guess what they did?
Stop.
They called the cops on him. Yes. Vacated him. Had him gone. And this is not an isolated incident. This has happened with No Kings and other places around the country. And so even though I feel that the specific act of millions of people around the country rallying together is beautiful.
I love the mobilization. I love the mobilizing. But mobilizing is not organizing.
Thank you. Exactly. Giving people a place to express their rage without giving them a conduit to doing something productive with their rage and how they can be an active part of this revolution is fruitless, because you're just dissipating energy into the atmosphere. No one's doing anything with it. They go back home and watch Netflix again and continue to be frustrated about paying that bill. It's a cycle. This is the third one. So what have we learned? The one thing that I think people can learn from this is if they're continuing to be frustrated about nothing being done and coming from the No Kings protest, eventually they're going to get sick and they're going to funnel themselves into the organizations or do their own research about finding it. My role in taking part in No Kings rally was talking to the people that needed to hear these things, to know that there are places and people that you can go, you can talk to actually figure out how you can take part in this revolution. What are your gifts and how can it help?
And you will have to catch the next episode to really dive into what we got going on, because we are out of time. This is Mysteria Unbarred, where silence gets broken and truth gets spoken. And I am your host, Jay Mysteria. Catch you next episode.
To me, where the wild things are is a place that exists in our minds. It's a place of liberty and shamelessness. It can take a split second or a lifetime to find it, but once you do, you'll be free.
Find table space to say your social grace is by your head. They're pious here, but you and I, we're pioneers. We make our own world.
There's a wild thing that exists in all of us. It lives in our passions, in the people we love, in our subconscious thoughts, our beliefs. It's even made a home in the darkest parts of us. But we can't be scared of it.